You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring everyone and anyone this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalme, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us either live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee, or Italy. And yes, you heard right, Maryville, Tennessee. Can't make this stuff up. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, glorious day today, Mother, sisters. Mother, you look well.
Yeah, thank you. You look well too, Peter. It's nice to be with you again. It seems like it's been a while since we've been together.
Yeah. Yeah. Many say I look better on radio.
I look
got a radio face.
Yeah, we always look better in fuzzy mirrors. And, you know, as we get older, we look better and better when it's not too clear, you know. don't clean your mirror off too well and you can look better. You
know? I'll try. That hasn't worked with my wife. She always reminds
one
me,
good
clean
thing
your
is
mirror.
We look beautiful to the eyes of God the more we live in his divine will. Doesn't matter what we look like in this life. It matters what our souls look like to him, you know, and so that's what's the most important thing. You look beautiful to God. Luisa was so beautiful to God. I mean, he kept saying that throughout the writings, how beautiful you are, because she lived totally in his divine will. And Our Lady, so beautiful, because she loves much. That's what she told the visionaries in Medjugorje. They said, why are you so beautiful? She says, because I love much. And so you want to be beautiful, love much. But the divine will teaches us how to love much. So that's how to get there.
That's right. You're right, Mother. And, you know, today, blessed feast day of St. Mark. Those who are unfamiliar, the Gospel of St. Mark was written around the 60s A.D. He was martyred in 68, so it didn't take time for the nefarious enemies to get to him. His relics are preserved in the cathedral in Venice. One quote I'd like to lead off with, and again, this is important for all of us. I think it opens up that gate to grace and graces. One of his quotes was, quote, whatever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses, end quote. I think that's so vital, especially, to surrendering ourselves to our Lord, to exercising our free will, to ask for God's divine will to reign. We must forgive. We cannot hold any grudges. There are no grudges in heaven. And thank God our Lord doesn't keep any grudges, because honestly, if we were our Lord, we would have obliterated us a long time ago. He's got the patience that entirely impress us every day. And again, his patients are running short, I think. He's given us a certain amount of time to turn around, and he's got to wake us up, and he's got to wake us up in whatever way he can. So, Mother, here we are. And again, the gift of living in the divine will, it's no surprise. It comes at this time in history, this point in history. Again, evil has always been around. There's always been that division. It started when the fall of Lucifer. It continues, but I don't think, collectively, globally, universally, I don't think that evil has ever had the footprint that it has right now. And I guess that's why God waited till this time to bring the gift of gifts to prodigy of prodigies, the gift of living in divine will, which is the greatest gift he can give to mankind, which is really, really special. We have to believe that, though, Mother.
Yes, it's a beautiful gift. And if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. But the divine will teaches us to forgive. It teaches us to really love. The more we read, the more we apply what we read in these beautiful writings that our Lord gave Louisa, the more we love and the more we can forgive. You can't live in his divine will totally if you can't forgive. So, you know, you could always check your spiritual temperature by that. How are you forgiving others? How much are you loving others? That's how much you're living in the divine will. I was just reading in volume 17, April 9th, 1925. My daughter, look at the state of the world. It is so grave that I can look at it only through a cloud. If I wanted to look at it outside of this cloud, I would destroy a great part of it. But do you know what this cloud of light is? It is my will operating in you. And your acts done in it. The more acts you do in it, the larger this cloud of light becomes, serving as my support. And to let me look with that love with which my will created man, it forms an enchantment to my loving eyes, and making present to me all that I did for love of him, makes a merciful will arise within my heart, and I end up feeling compassion for the one whom I love so much. This cloud of light serves in a marvelous way. It serves as light for all of your being. It places itself around you, and it renders the earth alien to you. It allows no taste, even innocent, for people or other things to enter into you, and forming a sweet enchantment also to your eyes. It allows you to look at things according to the truth, and in the same way as your Jesus looks at them. If it sees you weak, this cloud besieges you and gives you its fortitude. If it sees you inactive, it enters into you and becomes operative. Even more, it is jealous to the highest degree with its light, acting like a sentry, so that you may do nothing without it, and it may do nothing without you. Therefore, my daughter, why do you afflict yourself so much? Let my will work in you, and let it concede not one act of life to your will, which is not in me, if you want my great designs to be fulfilled within you. So the more we do these acts and rounds in divine will, the more we call God in everything we do, the more we're in tune to him, the more we're going to become detached from everything, detached from even pleasures in the world. You delight in pleasures. You enjoy people. You don't have to separate yourself from people. I was talking to someone on the Zoom program yesterday, and she said there's a group in her divine will group. They're feeling they have to be so detached. They want to detach themselves from everybody because that's what they need to do in order to live in the divine will. And I said, no, I said, God detaches you. You don't detach yourself. You just continue to live your life the way you're living it, in his will, doing his will, asking him to do everything in and through you. And as long as you continue to enjoy your friends, your relatives, delight in different things, but you're not attached to those things. You're not attached to people. If they're taken away from you, it's okay. It's okay if you don't have a certain food, if you don't have a certain entertainment, it's okay because you're not attached to anything anymore. Only God can detach us. You don't have to detach yourself. You just have to live in his divine will, focus on him, love him, do these acts and rounds in divine will, and you're going to gradually become detached, but he's going to do it in you. You don't have to worry about trying to make it happen, because then you're going to become fake. You're going to try to do something that's not you. People are not going to feel free, that freedom in your presence. The divine will makes us free. It sets you free. It's going to make you free in your relationships, loving in your relationships, but you're not attached in any of your relationships. You get more and more attached to God. You fall in love with him more and more and more. And you see everyone through his eyes. You experience everything through his being. So God lives within you. And you know, it says here, what I just read, it allows no taste. He's going to change that for you, even innocent, for people or other things to enter into you. And it's going to form its sweet enchantment in your eyes. So who's going to make us happy? God alone. God alone makes us happy. To love others is going to make you happy, but he's going to do it. It allows you to look at things according to the truth. You're going to see everything. When you see everything through the eyes of Jesus, you see the truth. You know, there's very intelligent people making all kind of crazy mistakes, because if you don't follow God, if you're following the evil one, you're going to become very stupid in your ideas and your thoughts. People, you know, choosing one sex marriage, all these crazy things. It's not intelligent. It's not reasonable. You lose your sense of reason when you don't follow God. But the most uneducated people become more intelligent and more reasonable, more prudent, more practical, more wise as they follow what God wants us to follow in these beautiful writings. It says, if he sees you weak, this cloud besieges you and gives you its fortitude. So God sees what you need, and he's going to give it to you at the moment when you need it, if you're living for him, only for him. It enters into you and becomes operative, whatever you need at the moment. It is jealous to the highest degree with his light, acting like a sentry. Our Lord told Louisa he pulled people away from her, put her in a bed for 64 years. I think she was in this bed. He took her away from the world. She didn't take herself away from the world. God did it. You know, God, Louisa didn't try to detach herself from people. God detached her from people. You know, she was not attached to anyone. She enjoyed people. They would come to talk to her. They would come to see her. Not a lot of people. That I went to her bedroom in Karachi. It was a very small room for people to visit with her when they did come. But she was open to that. She didn't push people away. You don't do that in the divine will. You don't push people away. You don't detach yourself. You just do what it tells you to do. Look at God within you, and you're going to see everyone through his eyes, and it's going to happen gradually. God is going to detach you from the things that you've always been attracted and attached to. It may be too much alcohol. It may be smoking. It may be all these things that you're attached to that are really not healthy for you, but God is going to let you see they're not important anymore. You're going to find it easier to give things up that are really not good for you. Maybe it's too much entertainments, maybe too much television, maybe too much internet. So God is going to gradually let you see that he wants you to come to him, and you're going to forego these things. The more you spend time with him, the more you're living in his divine will, the more you can live in his divine will. But if you're going to use up all your free time with all these dissipating entertainments like television, internet, the cell phone, all these things, you're not going to have time for him. And all eternity, you can be sorry. You can spend more time. Well, you can't be sorry in eternity. I guess you can, maybe in purgatory, but not heaven. But, you know, you'll be sorry that you wasted so much time that you could have spent reading the divine will and trying to live it, you know, and really ponder it. You don't just read it, but you pray it, pondering it, let it soak right into your heart and soul little by little. And you're gradually being transformed more and more into Christ. What a beautiful gift. You don't want to miss out on this beautiful gift. I mean, God has given it to us. This is the greatest time to be alive.
Oh, we lost your audio, Mother. Maybe the, did your battery run dry?
Hear me now?
Yes. Now that word started.
Yeah. This is such a beautiful gift. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to miss out on this beautiful gift that God wants to give us. He wants to give it to us more than we want it. But in order to get it, you got to read the volumes. You can go to all the talks you want, all the conferences you want. You can listen to a lot of talks. But if you don't read it, no one could give it to you as he gave it to Louisa. We can talk about it, but we can't. We read it. That's the reason why I read it. I can't state it the way God stated it to Louisa so profoundly, so beautifully. So you must read it and ponder it. You don't have to go fast. Read it very slowly. You don't have to hurry. It's 36 volumes. You've got your whole lifetime to read those 36 volumes. You can read them slowly and ponder them. Yeah. I've read them many times, but you don't have to. Even if you read it one time, but you read it very slowly and let it soak into your heart and soul, that's very important. But if you read it one time, you're going to go back when you finish and read it again and again and again, because you're going to find that this is life for you. This is what keeps you going spiritually. This is so important to you that when you give it up, you cease to realize the importance of doing acts and round the divine will. We have to continually be reminded through these writings by our Lord what we're supposed to do to live in his divine will. And then we're going to become joyful, happy, charitable people, kind people, forgiving people, loving everyone, living a life of perfection. Only God can get you to live a life of perfection. You can't make yourself perfect. He will, through these beautiful truths that he's given Louisa, if you give him a chance to transform your soul through what you're learning with these beautiful truths.
Amen. Yeah, you're right about all that, Mother. You know, grace anticipates the soul. You know, we have to recognize and believe and trust that we're going to receive that grace when needed. And yes, if God has made these volumes and these writings and this beautiful gift available to each and every one of us, and again, that includes everyone listening to Radio Maria right now, that means he's expecting us to take what he's provided for us, which is the shortcut, which is the volumes, which is the Virgin Mary and the kingdom, which is so important, the hours of the passion, everything that Jesus and our Blessed Lady transcribed to Louisa is important. And again, we must either read or listen if it's made available to us. Now, again, this is a mystical gift, nothing that we've done to deserve it. So God can give this to anyone, even someone who hasn't heard of Louisa, hasn't heard of the divine will. Again, that's a mystical gift that God gives unequally to anyone he wishes, when he wishes. And that can happen at any time. But again, we have to say, if God has made these volumes available to us, he is indeed expecting us to read this. And that's so true. You mentioned also, Mother, about the you used the word enchantment, or Jesus was using the word enchantment. That's so important too, because early in the volumes, he talks about the greatest way to receive this gift and to continue this feed from God is to move God, is to give God a reason, basically, to give this gift, prove, you know, our desire to him. Then he raises the bar, excuse me, in volume 17, he uses the word enchantment. He's basically saying, okay, now I'm giving you the opportunity to enchant me. Well, if you think about it, to move someone is part of the enchantment. It's sort of the under the aura of enchantment. So he's giving us this opportunity to enchant him so that he may give us these additional graces that are necessary, as he says, so vital for these evil times to come. He knows what's coming. He knows what we need. So he's giving us this opportunity. He's actually now giving us an opportunity to earn it. See how beautiful this is? It's almost a transverse effect. We've done nothing to deserve this gift, nothing to earn it. But once we're given it, that's when our work begins, because that's how we can prove our loyalty, our faithfulness, and our trust in God. Do we believe this to be true? Then why aren't we reading it? If we don't believe it to be true, we don't have to read it. Again, that's the litmus test that God's looking for. I give it to you. It's everything. I've explained why. What are you going to do? And he's watching. He's watching. No pressure, though.
Well, you know, Our Lady, too, teaches us to live in divine will. We say that little prayer three times a day, asking Our Lady to take us by the hand and to help us live in his divine will. You can say it in your own words, whatever way you want to say it. But this, everything, all graces come from God through Our Lady and go back to God through Our Lady. So, you know, we just ask her, ask Our Lady, and now we have May coming up, the month of May. I heard someone say one day, a priest, that one good way of living in the divine will is to read from Our Lady's book for the month of May, the meditations, maybe 10 minutes in the morning. During the day, read at least 30 minutes from the Book of Heaven, and at night, read a little, maybe 10 minutes from the Passion Book. Not only during the month of May, not only during Lent do you read the Passion Book, but all year you can do that. And it's a good way to live in the divine will. You start off with Our Lady, you end with the Passion during the way the Book of Heaven. So, you know, it's a good way, and Our Lady will do it for you. She wants to grant, intercede for you to get the graces to live in your divine, in God's divine will. She's our mother. You know, it says in the Divine Will writings, we were conceived with our Lord in Our Lady's womb. She's our mother. We were born with him. He said all these, he relived each person's life to perfection. So that means everything he did, he included all of our activities in those activities. He included our conception in his conception. He included our births in his births. So Our Lady became our mother in a very profound way.
And God has spoken through the prophets, the saints, the mystics. I mean, we can go from St. Louis de Montfort to St. Maximilian Kolbe, who perhaps is the greatest Marianologist. You know, what does St. Louis de Montfort say? I mean, among things, I can just quote one quick one in the essence of time. Quote, take advantage of little sufferings, even more than the great ones. God considers not so much what we suffer as how we suffer. Turn everything to profit, as the grocer does in his shop, end quote. So again, he's so easy to understand. Jesus said he had to make this gift. How do you make this available to everyone? He had to make it easy and accessible in all circumstances, in all places, in all situations. That's what he said. So it doesn't matter how much money we have, how much education we have, how much anything we have, it's available if we want it. He says it's only available, it's not available to those who don't want it. Because he and she are not going to invalidate our free will. That's the beauty of a true love. I mean, he could have forced us to love him unequivocally. That would have been a self-serving love. He allows us to elect whether we want to or not. Think about, again, if you want to look at it, the risk God is taking. You're going to lose souls by giving that opportunity. But you know what? You have to let go what's not yours. And God is just testing us now. And he's going to take us into his cradle. He's going to protect us. And Our Lady has been put in charge, as you mentioned, Mother. She's the one marking the foreheads of the children of the divine will. I remember, we don't have to understand this completely. Jesus tells us, anyone understanding these truths in full or in part, may call themselves a child of God. That gets us into the kingdom. That gets us under the umbrella. That gets us out of the rain. Sister Magdalena.
Yes, Peter. Oh, wow. Amazing. This is a miracle, because when you said, how can we become a partaker of the graces of God, we become children of God. Guess what? My sharing is exactly that. The effects of grace is involved May 5th, 1905. Because I asked the same question, you know, how is it, you know, the way that we can truly live in a divine will is through grace. We cannot be proud of any virtue that we possess. We cannot be proud of anything that we can do at all. Not even the things, that the gifts, the talents. Everything is from God, and everything through grace. We didn't get them because we deserve them. We didn't get them because we work so hard, or we're so big, or we're so this. We get them because God loves us. It's not to our merit, but through the merit of Jesus Christ, that we are who we are, and we receive what we, and we have what we have. And our Blessed Mother is our Lady of Graces. She is the mother of all graces, and she's Our Lady of Grace. So I would go ahead and read this passage on May 5th, 1905, the effects of grace. And I also have in my own word, it's ripple effect of grace. Jesus tells Louisa and to us, my daughter, everything that can come out from within a person is called a birth. And this birth becomes the child of the one who delivers it. Now, this daughter of mine is grace, which, coming out of me, communicates herself to all the souls who want to receive her and transmutes them into as many other children of mine. Not only this, but everything good and virtuous that can come out of these second children becomes the children of grace. See now what a long generation of children grace forms for herself, if only they receive her. But how many reject her, and my daughter comes back into my womb alone and childless. So it's kind of a short passage, but I've meditated on this quite a bit, and it answers to some a lot of my questions, because really, to live in the divine will is not something that we can talk about, you know, like, okay, the only way to live is to preach, to go out there. It's easy to say these things than done. So we have to live this, you know, like Mother said, we read the volumes, we read them slowly so that we can understand. And while we're reading it, put on the mind of Christ, put on the mind of the Holy Spirit, so that it's not just our minds as human being, but it is the mind of Christ in us. And to really believe in that, to really receive, to believe that God is so merciful, no matter how bad I am, I think I am, no matter how sinful I think I am. I've already been to confession. I'm sorry for my sins. And some of us, sometimes it's hard to let go of these things. You know, many of us probably struggles with letting go. And just to kind of don't focus on the negative things. You know, we talked about this earlier in our community, that the reason why Eve gave in to the temptation of Satan is because he entertained Satan. He gave him time. So it's the same thing with us. When we start to give time to our negative thoughts, to give it life, you know, entertaining it, it's not going to help us at all. So when negative thoughts starts to come in our mind, do not entertain the thoughts, brush it off, and go back to the thoughts of love, the thoughts of God. A lot of these negative thoughts cause us to do things that are not of God, not the will of God. For example, disobedience, all these bad things, vices that we do. I read in previous passages in the past that the Lord tells Louisa, the reason why we gave in to temptation is because we don't pay attention, you know, lack of attentiveness. And then the second is lack of seriousness. We're not really serious about the things that we want to do. These are the two important things. So if we really wanted to live in the divine will, we need to be very serious about it. And when we're serious about it, we dispose ourselves. We dispose ourselves to grace and then be attentive. So I don't have that much time left. So I'll let go for this moment. And I think it was a lot. And Mother, you said a lot about this. So here we go.
Yeah, we can come back to it, sister. I know we were coming up on the break, and it is serious. I mean, we have fun because again, our Lord is joyous. This gift is should make us ecstatic when once we recognize it. Something that I'd like to go into the break. Something with Mother had said about our Blessed Lady and our Blessed Lord. You know, where our Lord is, our Lady is, and vice versa. And that also includes the Eucharist. So let me just lead in with two quotes. First from St. Augustine, who wrote, quote, "Jesus took his flesh from the flesh of Mary. We behold him and we give thanks each time we receive the Eucharist. How often do we, during this moment, remember to honor his mother?" End quote. And then last but not least, from St. Thomas Aquinas, who wrote, quote, "The flesh of Jesus is the maternal flesh of Mary. The blood of Jesus is the maternal blood of Mary. Therefore, it will never be possible to separate Jesus from Mary." End quote. We've been given everything. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Here. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Thank you again, Radio Maria. I want to thank God again for coming back for the second half. We're still here. Want to lead into this. I want to talk a little bit about Radio Maria. I want to talk about Mary. And we are talking about Mary. Here's a quick quote from St. Louis de Montfort. He says, quote, "We are given reasons to believe that toward the end of time, and perhaps sooner than that, we expect God will raise up people filled with the Holy Spirit and imbued with the spirit of Mary. Through them, Mary, Queen most powerful, will work great wonders in the world, destroying sin and setting up the kingdom of Jesus, her son, upon the ruins of the corrupt kingdom, which is this great earthly Babylon," end quote. Mary's working each and every day in each and every one of us, and is doing it especially through Radio Maria. And again, God is so gratuitous also. He allows each of us to participate in whatever way we can. Some are called to be presenters. Some are called to have the sophistication to work the back end of this radio ministry, to make sure that the words are being transmitted over the airways and through the cables. And also, God allows us to participate financially. God has given us all gifts, and he's imbued some of us with financial gifts. And those financial gifts, money's not bad, but it depends on how we use it. So again, if any of you out there listening are in a position where you can share the grace and the gift that God has bestowed on you in the form of wealth, if you can share some of that, a small piece of that, with Radio Maria to keep this ministry alive. It's the work of Mary. It's not the work of Radio Maria. It's the work of Mary through Radio Maria. That's the vehicle. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us and click on the donate button, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. We're trying to give away anything I can. I'll give my desk away if anyone makes a sizable donation. Anyone making a donation today, whether live or in the archives, if you're listening to us, we will send you a Luisa Picaretta prayer relic card, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. I don't know why the phones aren't ringing off the hook for that. And the contact information on the back of the card, which states whom to call when you receive your miracle or experience it. We also, I just found about 10 I Am Catholic cards, which are about the size of a credit card, same thickness, same size, which states, "I am Catholic. In case of an emergency, please call a priest." And on the back of the card is the act of contrition. It's a great thing to keep in your wallet or to give to a friend. Not that you're supposing that they're going to meet with some fate, but again, just nice to have on us. And if not for us, for someone else, perhaps in our near vicinity. So please, if you can, be generous. God knows what we can do. He's not asking those who cannot do to do it. Those can give spiritually. We can all give spiritually, but some of us, small amount, can give financially. Please step in the breach. Do what you can for those who cannot, that really want to, that just have not been endowed the way some of us have been financially. So please, 888-408-0201, readymaria.us. It's so important. It really is. And I'm being very, very serious. We have fun here, but I'm being serious. Speaking of serious, I'll go back to the sisters.
Yes, I'd just like to say about the fundraising we do, everything is coming from grace from God. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, there is fear because life is hard these days. But we have to also believe that by trusting in the Lord's blessings, trusting in his mercy, God can perform miracles. So even if we give the best we can, you know, maybe it's hard, but give it out of love for God, God will commensurate. God will give back to you multiple times. Amen. And it's also giving God an opportunity to perform miracle in us. So, you know, I mean, I know it's hard. We know it, but we just have to really trust. I would like to continue just a little bit more on what I've left out earlier. Our Blessed Mother is the perfect example of grace. And the reason why she's able to become mother of all is because she perfectly lived in the divine will. So she is our perfect example. If we live in the divine will, we become mother of all graces also, as I read previously in this passage. Jesus says, "A long generation of children, grace forms for herself." This is for ourselves, if only they receive her. So if we receive grace, if we receive God's grace in our soul, we become mother of all generation. I love to pray, you know, when I ask, when I do acts and rounds or whatever I do, I'd like to include souls, past, present, and future. I know God already know my desire. That is my desire. But it's good for me to mention that because it helps me to remember, to really be serious about my mission. I call this as my mission, to be serious about it, to pay attention about it, because it's not only for myself, for my family, but it's for all generations. And who knows, you know, this might actually save us from the greatest chastisement coming. You know, this might actually mitigate it. So have faith and love one another.
Perfect. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Today, I just wanted to share about the rounds that anyone who, whoever lives in the divine will, that we are the first. I mean, there's a passage where Luisa put herself in front of everybody, even like from Adam and Eve. But I wanted to explain about this in the context of divine will. This is a little passage, comes from February 8, 1924. I was fusing all of myself in the holy divine will, and in doing this, as the littlest of all, I placed myself ahead of all generations, even before Adam and Eve were created, so that before they would sin, I may prepare ahead of them the act of reparation to the divine majesty, so as to cover all the acts of creatures with his divine will, and therefore be able to bind the human will, which he had split off, with the divine and make them one. So placing oneself before Adam and Eve, it is fusing oneself in the divine will. In the Luisa's writing, there are like fusing and round. It's it kept repeating. It keeps recurring in her writings, and through that rounds we can offer back to God in the divine will, of course, what he has done, and glorify him as we impress, as we put our I love you, I thank you, I glorify you with his own praise and adoration. So, of course, we cannot be literally or physically be there, but God made it possible because in his mind of God, we were there. We were already existent from the all eternity, and we were there in creation, in redemption, in sanctification. Even I remember in the writing of, I don't know which volume it is, Hours of Passion also, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus saw Luisa and all those that are going to live in the divine will. And he was consoled by, you know, our presence. And when he saw the cross, he was able to see that this cross was enough, big enough, you know, to repair for all the sins of all generations and all the peoples. So even though, of course, we cannot fully know the mystery of God, and that we were not there physically when Jesus was on earth for 33 years, but he did all his acts, all his throughout his life. He called all our acts, and he repaired everything, and he glorified them. He made them holy and perfect. So now he gave this gift of living the divine will. So we are taking those acts that he had already done for us, and then giving it back to God as if it's ours, because Jesus did everything for us. So truly, divine will is origin of all things, and anyone who enters into the divine will, we can fully possess it. Because Jesus said, the one who lives in my will is always the first before her creator. And even if she is born later in time, this says nothing in our will. One who has never gone out of it is always first. So Jesus says that anyone who lives in the divine will is always the first. It doesn't only, he didn't only said that to Luisa, but also to all of us who's going to live in the divine will. Really, it doesn't change our when we were born. We cannot alter this fact, you know, that, but in the spiritual realm, it is possible in the divine will. So taking possession of everything that God has done, and then just simply giving it, offering back to God with his own adoration and praises impressed on it by allowing Jesus to do it everything in us in the divine will, simply by uniting our will to the will of God. So only that our desire to do everything in the will of God, just to desire what he wants and want what he has already done. That's how God makes it possible. So it is true that Louisa, she was the first one who opened the door to enter into the divine will, but God also wants to give the same thing to all of us who desire to live in the divine will. So yes, I think that's all I wanted to say. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Adam and Eve, if we think about it, their fall we can consider as the first natural disaster. And when that occurred, all order was placed in disorder. And again, that's going to continue as sin abounds. So will nature abound against creation. Because if you think about it, all of creation was formed to remind us, a subtle reminder of God. And they basically got pink slipped. They lost their job. And they're not happy in a metaphoric way. But Father Nuzzi, in the book, The Rounds of the Soul and the Divine Will, he explains a little bit here. I'd like to read this couple lines. He says, quote, by virtue of its rounds in creation, the soul, us, maintains the divine order, honor and glory of the kingdom of God's will that God established before original sin. While the soul's rounds reestablish the prime order and relations of God with creation, the light of its divine prayers and acts that accompany these rounds form suns that infuse divine life within creation. End quote. So we're repairers of the breach, not because we know how to do it, no, because God has imbued that, endowed us with that task. It's going to be his might doing it. All he wants is our fiat. Yes, I'll do it. I mean, not that we're puppets, But again, we cannot grasp the magnitude of God and what he's done. And he's asking us to participate. He's asking us, I'll let you ride on my coattails because I want you to be there. It's like a parent who gives the three-year-old a present for the spouse. Here, give this to mommy for her birthday. The three-year-old didn't go out and buy a present, but yet is giving a gift. Again, this is exactly what God's giving. He's dropped this gift in our lap and says, you can give it back to me, or you can keep it. And if we keep it, it's like the one who buried the coins. We cannot do that. We must share. We must go out. We must preach. Everything that God has told us, what the church has told us in 2,000 years, is all coming to fruition. There's nothing to be despondent about. I mean, we've got the antidote to any and all poisons if we believe that. And I think, Mother, belief, I think, is something that I think we have to begin with belief. If we don't trust these writings to be of God and our Blessed Mother, then this is as if we're reading a novel. And I don't know about you, Mother, but I have no time for novels. I don't think I ever have my whole life. So again, this is all here. Give it a try. I mean, we tried everything else. What do we have to lose? Right, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, that's so true. And we're so blessed to live in these times. And the greatest gift is really living in the kingdom of the divine will. And we're all called to be little children of the divine will. Doing like acts and rounds with Jesus in order to make reparation for all souls, past, present, and future. And in that way, we can best console the sacred and immaculate hearts of Jesus and Mary in that way. So I like to read something from volume 34, May 16th, 1937, where Jesus tells us through Louisa the greatest miracle that God can do. My little daughter of the divine volition, you must know that the greatest miracle that our divine being can do is to manifest one truth that belongs to us, because it first is formed, matured in our bosom, and as our birth we put it forth as bearer of divine life for the good of creatures. And then later on in this passage, Jesus says, specifically about these truths and their effects. And when I read this, I thought it was a very beautiful imagery about the effects of these truths that we read and ponder. And it also reminds me of the importance of constantly not only reading, but it's like what Mother says, praying the volumes and like pondering and meditating on it and letting it sink in our heart and soul, because we're not reading it just for ourselves and our sanctification, but also for all souls, like past, present, and future. They have no feet and they walk, but so fast that no one can catch them nor impede their step. They enter into the intelligences and form the thought in order to make themselves known. They transmute the will in order to make themselves possessed. They renew the memory in order to not be forgotten. They walk in the ways of the heart in order to be loved. In fact, they have no hands and they operate. They have no eyes and they see. They have no heart and they generate love. The truths are nothing other than palpitating lives of our divine being in the midst of creatures. Heartbeat without heart, because our heart is the creature, and we, as most pure spirit who find ourselves everywhere, we are the heartbeat that, while it is not seen, it is felt, and we form the life and we give it to all the human generations. So we have to really allow these volumes to really sink into us. And then we also have to realize that everything Jesus did in us, did for us during his life on earth, during his 33 years of life on earth, they're still present and act. And Jesus wants us to take it, because in the fifth dimension, all of Jesus's acts still continue to exist there. And also, it's just really beautiful to think that God speaks to us in so many different ways through the volumes. Like, there's so many beautiful, like parables and imageries that Jesus speaks into us, because when I read this, it really reminds me of like gold tested in fire. Like, God allows us to be continually purified until all the impurities come up, and then God removes it, and then we get purified again. And in that way, we have to become so pure in order to enter the kingdom of heaven and in order to receive this great gift.
That's right. And, you know, we don't want to miss a word. In fact, St. Hannibal gave us some advice. He says what he does, his practice. He says he only read 1 to 2 passages a day of the Book of Heaven. And he did so that he can fully understand, to the best of his human capability, what Jesus and our Blessed Mother are trying to articulate to him. And then again, of course, allowing the supreme teachers, Jesus and Mary, to teach him. So again, this is the Book of Heaven is really quality over quantity. Again, what good is it to read a whole volume and remember nothing we read? So again, I think the smaller we read, perhaps especially in the beginning, the more we can absorb. You know, we're called to be sponges. And what does a sponge need to do to absorb whatever it's trying to absorb? It needs to remain in it, right? You want to put a sponge in water. The longer you keep that sponge in the water, the more it's going to absorb. The more we immerse ourselves in these volumes, the more we don't gloss over them and just fleet to the next passage, I think the better God can fill us with everything he wants to do. Would you agree, Sister Faustina?
Oh, yeah, always. And also, you know, something that helps is to be like really open to these knowledges and ask Our Lady, since she's, how you say, she is the teacher of the divine will, because she possesses the divine will, and also Luisa and all these helps that we have, this aid that we have, just ask them to really help you to open your mind, your heart, to understand all these manifestations that are divine language. And it's hard for us as humans to understand, but if you really surrender yourself to the divine will and allow, just open and have a good disposition to absorb all these knowledges, he's gonna absorb them in you. And then little by little, you're gonna keep growing and growing in this immense sea of the divine will that he always is talking about, and be so like deep into it so that you absorb everything. And amen. I wanna read from volume 18, February 18, 1926. It's just at the end of the passage, how Mother was saying earlier in the program, how we need to always be attached to him, and he's going to be the one taking care of us. Because I think about, if people try to be detached from everybody, it's impossible, because we are humans and we are created also to interact with other humans, you know? So it's not bad to be interacting with a person who is similar to you. It's just the way, right, how you put your heart into it. You know, like if your only goal is to love Jesus, then you're not going to worry about talking to that person because you're not talking to that person. You're talking to Jesus in that person. So it's just a different view of analyzing and like trying to understand this detachment. It's not
that's so true, sister, because, you know, if you think about it, you know, we weren't created to be alone. God always wanted us to be, I mean, Adam and Eve, and of course, so we need to have community. What I think about when I hear that, what you're just saying, I think about St. Cyril Jerusalem, when he talks about, again, you need to expand on this, you need to allow God to expand on this. But St. Cyril said, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, never leave the church. Think about that. We may have to realign our relationships as things get more difficult, because again, I know my litmus test is, I ask myself this also, am I willing to die a martyr? And if those around me are willing to die a martyr, then they're not going to throw you under the bus, so to speak. You know, we spoke to a lot of priests from communist nations, and they said it was so devastating on how they would pit neighbor versus neighbor, who had a couple more grains of rice and who would be killed, who would be given. I mean, it's the same thing in today's society. It's bribery, it's extortion, it's all the evils. Again, we have to see past this. And we may have to make some difficult decisions. So I'm glad you brought that point up, sister.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you think about it, you can say, I'm going to detach myself from my family members, for example, and I'm not going to talk to them anymore. But then you can become attached to your solitude, to your silence. So that's another attachment. So it's, you got to just be aware of what attachment is in your life and what detachment means in reality. So, but I would say that if you really love Jesus, and how Luisa always is complaining, but also he is always telling her, like, don't be afraid of your attachments, of your miseries, of your imperfections, because I will substitute for you. And you are covered by my divine will. So it's impossible for you to leave me alone, to let it go. And we got to believe in that, that we are really surrounded by his divine will, not only on the outside, but in the inside too. He's living in us. So he will take care of us. And going back to the passage, it says, my daughter, each manifestation that I make to you about my will is a beatitude released from the womb of the divinity, which not only makes you happy and disposes you more to live in my will, but prepares you for more new knowledges. And not only this, but all of heaven remains inundated by that new beatitude which has come out of our womb. Oh, how grateful they are to you, and how they pray that I continue the manifestations of my on my will. These beatitudes were closed into ourselves by the human will, and each act of human will is a lock to the celestial beatitudes, not only in time, but also in eternity, because each act of my will done on earth sows in the soul the seed of that beatitude which she will enjoy in heaven. Without the seed, it is useless to hope for the plan. Therefore, deeper and deeper do I want you inside my will. And that just reminded me of the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, that says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So it's that knowledge that also Mother was talking about, like even in eternity, you're going to keep knowing more about your creator. And that's going to be the beatitude that you're going to keep enjoying more and more. So really, these volumes give you like hope and like really encouragement of wanting to be happy forever, like for eternity. And the more you know about it, the more your love expands towards God. And I would say that I think this is the best things for us, like going back to that origin and purpose of which we're created for. And I really encourage you, how Mother says, to keep reading, and just not for entertainment, but really, really to live it.
Right. That's our job. Really, that's our full-time job. Everyone has a full-time job, and that's to enter as deep as we can into my world, to the best we can. Mother, we've got about a minute or two left. Any final thoughts?
Well, yes, we're just talking about attachment sometimes in this. Don't worry about that. You know, I said before, God will detach us from what he wants us to be detached from, as long as we're doing our acts and round the divine will, reading the volumes and trying to understand it, you know. But you could be, you could have a very little, you could be very poor and be attached to everything you have. You can be a multimillionaire and not be attached to anything you have, willing to get rid of it. You can have lots of friends all around you and not be attached to anyone. You can live with two people and be attached extremely much to those two people. So, you know, it's not, it's attachments and not having. It's not being attached to. So that's what we have to realize. Are you attached to the things you have? Are you attached to food? Are you attached to entertainments? You have to look in your own life. You know, how am I attached to things that are taking me away from God? And maybe get rid of those things that are taking. We're creatures of habit. You get in the habit of not having things that you feel are not good for you, and you're fine without them. It's just like sweets. The more sweets you eat, the more sweets you want. You stop eating sugar, everything is too sweet after that, you know. So I think don't worry about attachments. Just live in the divine will. Don't worry about all these imperfections you may be struggling with. God will gradually take them out of your life as you let him relive his life in you, which is he wants to relive his life in you more than you want it. You know, he loves you so much. You're very unique to him. You're very special to him. He wants you to just call him into everything so that you can be thinking of him throughout the day. He gets tickled pink. One little thought you have of God. He loves you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Mother, for those words. I want to wrap up with a little bit of the past and a little bit of the present. The past is from St. Maximilian Kolbe, quote, "If anyone does not wish to have Mary for his mother, he will not have Christ for his brother." End quote. And last but not least, from the Holy Father, Pope Francis, Vatican City, October 26, 2020. Quote, "The times we live in are the times of Mary. And also, to go to Mary's school is to go to the school of faith and life, because she teaches the disciples. She teaches well the basics of the human and the Christian life." And last but not least, like Mary, the church is a mother like Mary. End quote. Please support Radio Maria, 888-408-0201, radiomaria.us. We'll send out the relic card, I Am Catholic card. Please, we can all participate one way or another. May God bless you. Mother, thank you for your vocation. Thank you for your fiat. And all the sisters, thank you for your love and your time. We love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We love you too. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.